is so good to see you. We welcome you to our service this morning. It's so fantastic to see you, and I've been thinking about you all week. In fact, I've been thinking about you because I went to the dentist. Does anybody hate going to the dentist? Is that the worst? This week, my tooth is still a little bit sensitive where I got drilled on, you know? I can't think of anything more miserable or anything that I dread more on the calendar than going to the dentist. That date, it looms in my mind, you know? I count down the days, and it's always great when I get it over with, but boy, I hate going to the dentist. I'm certain that those needles get bigger every time that I go and visit my dentist. I got a mean dentist, man. That guy can drill like crazy, and you know, he tries to deaden everything with the shot, you know, before he drills a cavity. And I'm always thinking, do I tell him that I can feel the pain, and then he gives me another shot, or I just try to endure through it? You know, I don't know. And the dentist is expensive, man. Those guys are making some bank, I'm telling you. Maybe I chose the wrong profession, the dentist, man. Those guys are making some bucks, man. Spend a few minutes there, hundreds of dollars. Anyway, the dentist, pretty bad place, isn't it? Pretty miserable. Big shots, drilling on your teeth, charging you crazy money, scraping on your teeth. What's the deal with that? Now, they always tell you, do not scrape or touch your teeth with any metal, sharp metal objects. And what is the first thing that they do when you sit down in the chair, man? They start scraping away. And that stuff that they use to polish, you know, the tooth, you know, that gritty stuff. Pastor Jeff told me he loves that stuff. I was like, you are disgusting. That's so sick. You know, I love to think about another place I love to go. Several years ago, Gina and I had the opportunity to go to Disney World. Anybody here ever been to Disney before? Disney is a fun place. I mean, it's exciting. And I had an opportunity to go with a group of pastors over there. And I feel like the worst parent in the world. I'm like the only parent that's ever gone to Disney and not taken their kids, you know, like a really bad person. But we had a great time. And, you know, Disney is just exciting. I mean, you're walking along and then there's Cinderella's castle, you know, looming in the distance. And there's fireworks. And you never know who's going to show up. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Minnie Mouse singing, dancing. They got the Michael Jackson thing, the rides, all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. I mean, it is truly a place of excitement. What I want to talk about this morning is about this subject matter of revolution. And the topic that I want to talk about is one that is normally associated with going to the dentist or like going to the dentist. But what God wants us to see is that it's not like going to the dentist. It really is a lot more like Disney. And God wants to change our perspective about the subject matter of giving and generosity. And I'll tell you why this subject is so important. It's because when we begin to learn what the Bible teaches about giving and generosity, it brings us closer to God, it builds our faith, and we see the blessings of God begin to abound in our lives. And that's why everything we're going to talk about this morning is so, so important. Now, Jesus gave 38 parables in the Gospels. 38. That's quite a few stories Jesus told. And 16 of them had to do with possessions or money or generosity. So about half of all that Jesus taught in the parables related to this subject. And if you look throughout the Bible, you'll find that the Bible mentions prayer about 500 times. How many of us would say prayer is pretty important to the Christian life? You know, 500 times. And the subject of faith is mentioned about 500 times in the Bible. And when it comes to the subject, though, of giving, over 2,000 verses in the Bible deal with possessions, generosity, and giving. So more than prayer and faith and even baptism and the Lord's Supper all added together, the Bible speaks of this subject matter so much. And that's why it's so important for us to understand exactly what the Bible has to say to us. Now let's talk about a couple of attitudes towards giving, because the attitude has so much to do with what we give and how we give. And one of the attitudes that we have is we think, well, I'm going to give to get attitude. In other words, if I do this, then God is going to do this in my life. And sometimes we look at God kind of like a cosmic vending machine, you know? It's like, God, I wrote that check last week, and so now I'm expecting you to do this. And how many of you know that God is untamed and unpredictable at times? The Bible talks about God's blessings, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but we never give in order to get. We give because we love God. The motivation of the Christian experience when it comes to giving to God is gratitude and love and thankfulness. That's our motivation. Some people think that giving is centered around guilt. So we give by guilt. You know, like, if I don't do it, I'm going to feel bad, and, you know, I really should do this. And, you know, sometimes even in the church, guilt is a motivator. And we believe here at Edge Church that guilt should never be the reason to give. We motivate people to give at Edge Church by inspiration, by motivation, but not by guilt. If I ever get up and preach on a Sunday morning and we have all the lights out, you know, and it's cold, it's like 3 below outside, and we're all freezing to death, and I get up and tell everybody, now it's cold and dark in here because you guys didn't give last week. That's what we call give because of guilt. But you know what? People don't give because of guilt. Really, people give because they get to give. They get to give. And God wants us to look at it as opportunity. It really is. Every time you see the offering basket passed, or every time that you go online to edgechurchcolorado.com, I hope you think about opportunity. Opportunity, not I'm going to feel bad if I don't. But man, look what I can be a part of. Look what I can do. How can I experience this? I look forward to that. Like Disney, man. I look forward to going back to Disney and taking my kids sometime. I'm excited about it. There's a new chapter. It's exhilarating. It's fun. It's thrilling. It's exciting. We get to give to God. We get to give. If you wanted to summarize this whole sermon, you could say this: we get to give. Now, the book of Proverbs says this in Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And Proverbs 3 gives us three specific reasons that tithing and giving is so important. And here's the first one. Write this down. I get to honor the Lord. I get to honor the Lord. When we give to God, we get to honor the Lord. Notice the very first thing that Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. In other words, when we give, it honors the Lord. We get to honor the Lord. And this word honor in the language of the Old Testament is an interesting word. It's a word that means to weigh down. You know, kind of like a king that has on a big gown, you know, with a train and a crown and a scepter and all kinds of jewelry, you know, and necklaces and all that. He's weighed down. To show honor to God is to weigh him down, if you will. To weigh him down, to show honor. When we give, we honor the Lord. We bring honor to him. And honor is so important, isn't it? You know, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth, and the Bible says, he did no mighty works among them because the prophet was without honor in his own hometown. You know, there were people that saw Jesus in Nazareth, and they were like, oh, yeah, I went to kindergarten with Jesus. Oh, yeah, I played soccer with Jesus. Jesus is just one of the guys, just kind of a normal person, you know. We lived down the street from Jesus, and they began to treat Jesus as ordinary rather than extraordinary. There was no honor. And because Jesus was not honored, his power did not flow. I wonder how many of us in our finances, we're not seeing the power of God because there is no honor. Are we honoring God with our finances? Are we bringing honor to him? Now, how many of us have been to some foreign countries before? Man, you've been, I'm not talking about Canada. I'm talking about like Africa, Asia, Europe, some places like that. Okay, a few of us, okay? And, you know, when you go to a different country, you have to learn the customs, right? You got to learn how do they kind of interact with each other. And it's different all over the world. It's amazing how different people are from us, you know. If you've only lived here, you don't even realize that. But I've spent some time in Siberia and in Ukraine. You know, Ukraine's been in the news a lot. You know, that's a wheels off place, by the way. And I've spent some time there. And there's some different customs. And when you meet people in Ukraine, you kiss them on the cheek. Did you know that? You lick your lips like this. And then you pucker up. You do a lefty and then a righty. Okay? And that's how you greet people. Now, if you go around trying to shake hands, hey, bro, how you doing? That kind of stuff. Knuckle bumps. Oh, that stuff doesn't work. That's not the culture of Ukraine. It's smooching is what it is. But you go to Siberia, they take smooching to another level. It's not smooching on the cheek. It's smooching on the lips. Okay? And you can meet people you don't even know before, and you're expected to start smooching them on the lips, man. Man on man, you know, strange woman, man, it doesn't matter. You just smooch everybody, you know, on the lips. It's a custom. I was helping serve the Lord's Supper at this church in Ukraine, and they said, Ryan, we want you to help officiate this because you're a minister from America. And I said, okay, that'd be great. What do we need to do? And they said, well, we use a common cup. A common cup is where everybody in the whole church drinks out of one cup. So they filled up the cup. And I thought, you know what? I'm cool with a common cup as long as I drink first. Right? They said, oh, no. The pastor has to drink last. You could say I took one for the team, you know? I have, like, the germs of 150 Ukrainians in my body. Everybody slur. I was trying to get some Purell out of my pocket and, you know, wipe that thing down a little bit before I had to drink, take the Lord's Supper. It wasn't really a real hallowed moment for me, but it was the culture of Ukraine. It was the culture of where I was at. So I had to do it. And you know what? The kingdom of God has a culture. Do you know that? The kingdom of God has a culture, and the kingdom of God says we honor God in our giving. So are we showing honor to the Lord in what we are giving to Him in our stewardship? And honor is necessary for every healthy relationship, isn't it? I mean, you know, guys, you got to figure this out. Early on in marriage, you got to honor your wife. If you don't honor your wife, you won't have a very good marriage. I figured out early in my marriage that one of the ways I could honor my wife was to give her a shoe budget. And guys, you know what I'm talking about? Women can have 100 pair of shoes and they feel like they have nothing to wear. I mean, it is truly amazing. What if I went to my wife and I said, honey, I really care about you. But your shoe budget from now on is $0 a month, okay? There is no shoe budget. And furthermore, we're not going to watch HGTV anymore. We're only going to watch ESPN at nights, okay? We've got basketball, football, hockey, baseball, just, you know, year-round ESPN. We're going to have a great time watching this. And by the way, I'm going to hang out with all my buddies on the weekend. I'm going to leave you here with the kids. Good luck with all that. Now, you'd say, Ryan, you're going to have a troubled marriage, right? That doesn't sound good, does it? Because there's no honor, right? I'm not honoring my wife. In a marriage relationship, wives have to honor husbands, and husbands have to honor wives. And when we do so, we have a healthy relationship. And listen, if you want to have a healthy relationship with God, you got to bring honor. You got to bring honor into that relationship. The Bible says the culture of the kingdom is we honor God in our giving. We honor God in our giving. Now let's talk about a couple of ways practically that we do that. We honor God with a spirit of gratitude when we give. You know, when we give to God, we give because we're grateful. God, thank you for what you've done in my life. And thank you for this. And thank you for that. And we've all been blessed. I mean, we've probably been blessed a whole lot more than we think that we've been blessed in this room today. But, you know, your giving is just, you know, you're showing gratitude to God. And I remember a number of years ago, we had our first child, and it took us 10 years to have our first child. Gina and I weren't even sure if we were going to have a child. And we did. And we were so grateful to God. We brought a special offering above and beyond our normal tithe. We brought a special offering just to tell God, thank you because we were grateful. Gratitude. So when you give to God, you're showing gratitude. It honors the Lord to see the church continue to grow. And I've got some great news for you guys. Over the last 3 months, our church has been meeting in this facility, and I think today is about 3 months, give or take, about 3 months here. It's hard to believe. Now we're kind of adjusted to this facility. But our church has grown about 300 people a weekend just in 3 months. Did you know that? Yeah. The church has grown from about 400 people a week to about 700 people a week. And it's exciting. And you know what? When you give, you put rocket fuel in the engine of the local church. Did you know that? I'm also happy to tell you just this week, we've had an amazing week here at Edge Church. Our staff and our leaders have led 5 people to Christ just this week. I mean, not in the service, just on the phone and in the lobby and in the community and over here, 5 people, man, are you kidding me? And that happens every Sunday in the services, but I'm just talking about just God moments all over the place. It's exciting. We're going to baptize about 20 people today. We baptized a bunch of people at the early service, and we've got a bunch of folks after this service. And it is fun, and I will tell you, there's times where God leads you to give just to be faithful and to be consistent, and there's seasons in our lives where that's the case. But I want to tell you, it's really, really, really fun to give to God when you see massive fruit and life change that's going on in the church. It is so much more enjoyable and pleasurable. I mean, it just really brings gratitude to our hearts to see all that God is doing. So it honors the Lord. And you know, it honors the Lord when we obey His word, because the Bible tells us that giving is a necessity. It's a normal part of our spiritual growth. So, you know, we should know how to pray as a Christian. We should know how to share our faith. We should know how to read and study the Bible. And we should know how to give and to bring tithes to God. And it's part of obeying God's word. Now, several months ago, we were visiting with some family members. Gina was talking with my brother and sister-in-law, and I was kind of overhearing this conversation. They were talking about how they needed to get into shape, and they were going to do the insanity videos. Anybody here ever done the insanity? Okay. It's a good name for the videos, right? Insanity, right? It's really good. And my brother and sister-in-law were like, oh, it is so hard. You know, we don't know if we can do it. We've been pushing through. We've been trying and trying and trying, and we keep quitting. And, you know, we need to get in shape, but we can't, and blah, 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 blah. So this goes on for about 5 minutes. Finally, they look at Gina, and they say, Gina, have you ever done insanity before? She was like, yeah, I've done it 3 times. They were like, really? How did you do that? My wife's like insanity chick, okay? When she's not shopping for shoes, she's doing insanity, okay? She said, you just start doing it, you know? You just show up every day, put the video in, and you start doing this, you know? And if you do this enough times, you will get in shape. You will do it. That's a lot like giving. It really is. People think, oh, it's going to be so painful. You know, it may hurt a little bit at first. You may have to adjust your budget. You may have to adjust some of your priorities. But you start going like this with God, writing those checks, I'm telling you, you're going to get in shape. It's going to happen for you. Don't believe it that it won't. So how do I honor God with my giving? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. That's what he says here. In other words, in the ancient world, people didn't have debit cards and checkbooks and PayPal and all this. People gave from their crops or their livestock. And the first fruits was the first portion of what was earned, the very first portion. And notice he says here, of all your produce, in other words, all of our revenue streams, God wants to have the first fruit. The first fruit is that first 10% of all of our income. The first 10 goes to God. Now, this is one of the greatest deals on the planet. God has given us 100%. Did you realize that? Everything you have is from God. Your house you live in, the cars you drive, the flat screen TV that you've got, you know, your shoes, whatever it may be, it's all from God. God says, here's 100%. He says, but I want to have 10% back from you, and the other 90, you can do whatever you want to do with that. That's a great deal. The problem is many times we look at all of our assets and all of our stuff and we think this all belongs to me, this is all mine, and therefore giving to God seems like such a stretch rather than seeing ourselves as a manager of what God has given to us. That's what the first fruit is. The first fruit is that first portion. Now, why is finances, why is generosity so important in the Bible? Why is Jesus teaching on it so much? Why does the Old and New Testament talk about it? I believe it's found in Matthew 6:21, the answer to that question. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because God knows that your money follows your heart. If you want to look at your greatest priority in life, pull out your checkbook. Your checkbook reveals everything about what you value and what you do not. It's very clear. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, and God wants your heart. And because God wants your heart, it is expressed in the area of our finances. Notice in Romans chapter 11, the Bible speaks of this idea of first fruits. It says, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches." Now, the first fruit is the first portion. Why does God want our giving to be first? Why is it the first fruit? Why is it not the last fruit? Let me give you a practical reason, and I'm going to give you a spiritual reason. The spiritual reason's here in Romans chapter 11. God says this: when the 10% is given to God, it redeems the other 90. Okay? When you give 10 to God, God says, "I will bless 90. Did you know that you can do more with 90 that's blessed by God than 100 that's not? That's the spiritual reason. Romans 11 speaks to this. It's putting God first. It's living by faith. You know, we're saying, "God, I fear you more than I fear the IRS or countrywide mortgages." Okay? It's a big difference. Because our highest priorities reflect those first checks that we write. God says, "I want it first, and I want 10. Now, the practical reason is, for the first fruits, is this. If you wait to the end of the month, how much money are you going to have to give to God? Yeah, like 50 cents. You're going to spend it all. You absolutely are. If you give it at the beginning, I love the Bible, it's so practical. If you give it at the beginning, then it's already gone, and then you're not waiting at the end of the month going, "Oh my goodness, where did it go?" That kind of thing. The first fruits go to God. And it always requires faith to give first. Did you know that? It's an act of faith. "God, I'm believing in you. I'm trusting in you. I believe that you're going to meet my needs according to your riches in heaven. God, I'm writing the first check. I'm doing it at the beginning. I'm not waiting to the end." And everywhere that I go, I hear two testimonies about tithing. I hear one group of people that say, "We bring the tithe and we're so blessed." And I hear another group of people that say, "I can't afford to tithe." Did you know if you wait till you can afford to tithe, to start tithing, you will never be a tither? Because there's always a reason to not tithe. And there'll be one reason this week, and there'll be another reason next month, and next year there'll be another reason. You will never, there is never a good, there's never a time where tithing is something that seems achievable, you know? It's something that is an act of faith. We start doing it. Do we need to change our budgets? Do we need to plan for it? Of course we do. We need to use good sense. Of course we do. But if you wait till you can start tithing, then you never will. And we see this echoed in the book of Joshua. You know, in the book of Joshua, God says, and the people are going to go in and they're going to conquer the promised land. And God says, "I want you to take the cities, starting with the city of Jericho." And what did God say about the city of Jericho? He said, "I want all of the plunder of the city of Jericho. I want the gold, I want the silver, I want the copper, I want all the stuff. Bring that to the house of God." And he says, "But all of the other cities that you conquer, you guys can divide that up amongst yourselves." What was God saying? God was saying, "I want the first. I want the first. Read the book of Joshua. You'll see there's a difference between the battle of Jericho and the other battles. God said, I want the first. God wants the first in our lives. And the prophet Malachi, he didn't hold anything back, man. He said in Malachi 3:8, you have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. In other words, there were people that were taking what belonged to God. Now, that's not good. It's not good. When we give to God, what happens? There'll be food. There'll be food in my house, the Bible says. And the storehouse was the local house of worship. That's why we bring the tithe, the first 10, to the local church, is because this is the storehouse. This is the place where ministry takes place. And I love verse 10. He says, when there's tithes in the storehouse, there will be food in the temple. And the goal is that there will be food in the church. Now, you know what? I have pastor friends all over the city of Denver that are completely afraid to talk about this passage. Did you know that? It's true. It's kind of uncomfortable, by the way. But you know what? In those same churches, people are stressed about money. They're freaking out. The leadership is uptight. You show up at church, everybody's tense like this all the time. They don't have any money to do any ministry. They can't help anybody. They're not leading anybody to Christ. They're not moving into a new building. The church is not advancing. Nothing else is happening. Why? Because they don't have any money. And the goal of the house of God is that we would have the money to do the work of God. And so I made a commitment when we started this church 4.5 years ago that we would teach the people to bring the tithe to God so there would always be money to do ministry and we could always reach people. And when God opened doors of opportunity, such as this building, that we would always be the kind of church that could take bold steps of faith rather than worrying that we're going to offend people. So that's why giving is so important. That's why it's so important. That's why Gina and I love to give. You know, we automate our giving. Talk about first fruits, man, bam. Middle of the night, you know, that thing goes off. It's great. You can't miss. You don't even start to miss it after a while. You just build your budget around it. It automates. It goes. First fruits to God. It's good. God says he'll bless it. And God promises to bless our faithfulness. Now, we're doing a deal over the next few days called the 90-Day Tithe Challenge. And here's what it is. You commit to bring the full tithe to God for 90 days. At the end of 90 days, if you feel like that you've not been blessed, the church will give all of your money back. Okay? We believe this stuff. I mean, Proverbs chapter 3 teaches it. The latter part here of Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and I didn't read all the verses there. But it's obvious, God says he'll bless it. You make the commitment to do that. There's a white envelope that's there in front of you in the pocket or underneath your chair if you're sitting on the front row. And you just fill that card out, and we're going to give you some resources to inspire you and encourage you. But you know what? If you feel like at the end of 90 days you haven't been blessed, we'll give you your money back. Now, I've only had one person, we've done this several years, I've only had one person that ever asked for their money back that didn't feel like they were blessed, and they were somebody that gave like 10 bucks or something like that. And I'm like, well, you didn't do what you committed to do, you know? But I'm serious about this, and our church is serious about it. Let's get our finances in order with God so that we can begin to experience the blessings that God has said he wants to give to us. And you notice the ending part of here of verse 10, it says, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. In other words, there's blessing that's there. God says, you be faithful and I will do in and through you with the 90 so much more than you could ever do with the 100. How about that? Now, some people say, some Christians say, well, you know what? Isn't the Old Testament law, is that not where tithing is taught? And since we're not under the law, we're under grace, is tithing still relevant? Okay? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can just listen and don't worry about it. Okay? I'll take a little detour here for a moment. First of all, a couple thoughts on this. Number one, tithing predates the law. 400 years before the law was given, in the book of Exodus to Moses, Abraham was bringing his tenth portion to Melchizedek, his priest, in Genesis chapter 12. So tithing goes, it started earlier than the law did, okay? Jesus, number two, Jesus affirms the tithe. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus was getting on to the Pharisees, which he did all the time, but he did so, and he said, now, the one good thing that you guys do is you do bring the tithes to God. And then he ripped them to shreds afterwards, rightly so. But he said, you guys do bring the tithe. You do. Here's another thing. Christians follow the teachings of the Old Testament. Did you know that? Okay, how many of you know the Ten Commandments are still good? Right? Adultery is bad. Don't do it. Stealing, not good. Murder. Oh, that's in the Old Testament. We don't do that. You know, we don't follow that stuff anymore. We follow everything in the Old Testament unless Jesus changed it in the New. So, for example, in the Old Testament, we practice animal sacrifice, atonement for sins, right? Why do we not do that today? I'm so glad we don't do that. I'm totally afraid of blood and guts. I'll be a bad priest, I'm telling you. Because Jesus was the Lamb of God who took away all the sins of the world. You see how that works together? So we follow the spiritual teachings of the Old Testament unless we've been told otherwise, right? Big difference. Now, if all that is enough for you, let me give you one more thought. Why would you give less under grace than you would under the law? Right? And if that doesn't make sense to you, read the Sermon on the Mount, and it'll make a little more sense. Here's the third thing. We gotta get this done. I'm running out of time. I get to experience God's provision and blessings. Okay, again, we're smiling. This is Disney. Okay? We're not going to the dentist. We all want the blessings of God. It talks about it right here. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 6, give and it will be given unto you. You know, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. To help us understand this a little bit, I want us to welcome to the stage Ashton, okay? Ashton, come on out here, buddy. Ashton, how you doing, buddy? What grade are you in? Fifth grade. Okay, Ashton's in fifth grade. Stick out your hand. Do you have a dime, by the way? Okay, pull that dime out. Hold it tightly in your hand, okay? Yeah, real tight. Don't let anything in there, right? You hang on to that, okay? Now, the dime represents the tenth portion, right? The tenth portion. And God says he wants our lives to be a conduit in and through which the resources he blesses with can flow to others. But a lot of times we are so busy hanging on to our stuff, we're not able to receive all that God has given to us. But Ashton, you have no idea how many dimes I've got, buddy. Look at this. It just starts bouncing off, doesn't it? All right, now Ashton, I want you to open up your hand all the way, okay? And I'm going to fill it. Now you give it, okay? Fill it. Now you give it. Fill it. You give it. All right, now both hands. Here we go. Fill it. Give it. Fill it. Give it. Fill it. Give it. Amen. God says that he cannot be outgiven. And when we begin to let his resources flow in and through our lives, we begin to experience his blessings. Ashton, thank you, buddy. Let's give it up for Ashton. Good job. Very good. Candace, come on out. Let's also welcome Candace Commits to the stage. Candace, come on out here.
Hi.
Candace is Edge Church member. She's been coming to the church for a couple of years. Candace, let's talk for a moment about the 90-Day Tithe Challenge. I just mentioned that a few minutes ago. 2 years ago, you were sitting in the seats just like everybody else here. Talk to us about what was going through your mind when you were about to take the 90-Day Tithe Challenge.
You know, I'd hear Jeff talk about, like, how you can tithe and how you can do your giving. And I was kind of uneasy about it a little bit, and I'd had a friend that had been talking to me back in Texas, you know, hey, you know, you should really tithe, and I'm thinking, I'm a single mom, I've got bills, I've got debt, you know, living on student loans, and you're making $10 an hour, how do you expect me to pay off my debt and tithe? And, you know, went to 101, got baptized, and it really started kind of weighing on my heart, like, you know, maybe I should be giving. You know, I was so grateful for what the church had done for, you know, my son. My son got baptized and I got baptized. You know, how can I not give back to the life change that we were experiencing? And it was weighing on my heart. And, you know, I just was like, you know, I was going from month to month of which bill am I not going to pay, you know? And so, okay, I'm not going to pay this bill this month. And then next month I'll pay that one, but I won't pay this one. And had gone from working night shift to had from childcare issues, had to switch to day shift, which was a huge pay cut. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, I really feel like I have this urge that I need to start tithing and put that faith out there, and made that choice to do that. And the day that I came, I was so excited to write my first tithe check. Had no idea what I was going to be walking into, because I came to church that day and you were talking about the 90-day tithe challenge. And I'm thinking, wow.
How about that?
Okay, I can start tithing and I have a money back guarantee that if I don't fill at the end of 90 days, I get my money back. Like, this is the best time to start this.
That's great.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about how you feel like you've been blessed since then. It's been about 24 months, I guess. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about what's it been like since then.
So many stories, but I'll just share a few that, you know, I was talking about the whole childcare issue and how I had to go to day shift and a huge pay cut. Well, the home group I was in, my home group leaders at the time were like, you know, we've been praying about it, praying for you. And, you know, we would like to watch your son so that you can go back to work in night shift. And that was huge. So I got, you know, not only was able to not have to work the day shift and with a lower income and paying for childcare and all that mumbo jumbo, but I was about to have to leave and go back to Texas because I wasn't gonna make it out here financially, and you know, needed that help and needed that support system. So that was amazing.
So you
in and of itself.
Okay, so your expenses decreased.
Yeah, and so there was
you had
no
free
notice.
Childcare.
Yeah,
before you were spending money every month.
Spending
on that.
Money from the child care, you know, and also with the pay cut. So then when I got the pay increase from going to back to night shift, like, I didn't notice the difference in what I had already decided to give. And, you know, on top of that, from the time that I started the 90-day tithe challenge to now, I have a $10,000 increase in my base salary. Like,
wow. Isn't that awesome?
That's crazy.
Oh, man. We serve a great God.
Yeah. I had one more quick little story. Because I know a lot of people have issues with debt, if you're like me, and trying to pay that off, working so hard and thinking, okay, I'm going to get there, and talking about the, you know, okay, not going to pay this bill this month, but pay it next month, and talking to the credit card companies, hey, can you work with me here, can you work with me there? Had one credit card company who was like, no, we're not helping you. And just this last October, I had finally made the choice to, you know, it's like, when you tithe, do you tithe on what you take home, or do you tithe on the before? Is it pre-tax, post-insurance, post-benefits? You know, what are you doing here? And before, I was kind of going the easy way out, right? And then I decided, you know what? I got to be bolder. I got to take that faith and give more. And when I made that choice, I get my credit card bill in the mail, and it's saying, you know, you've been overpaying. We messed up, and so here's $5,000 on your credit card bill. Credit.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
For this company who all this whole other time was like, no, no, no. And then when I made that bold choice to, you know, even up my faith that little bit more and give more in my tithing, you know, God was like, you know what? Here you go.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Wow. Candace, what would you say to somebody that's sitting out here today that's maybe thinking about taking the 90-day tithe challenge? What words of encouragement would you give them?
Just that this, you don't hear about this at many churches, you know. There's not many churches that are like, hey, try this tithing thing out, and if you don't like it, you're going to get your money back. Like, this whole experience, I have no doubt that if you're, you know, on the fence about it at all, try it out, because your life is going to be changed, you know, and there's no telling what way God is going to work in your life. It's not guaranteed that he's going to give you money or give you a car or buy you a house, you know, I mean, that's not guaranteed, but I just have complete faith that when you put that 90-day tithe challenge, you know, to the test, your life is going to be blessed.
Yeah. God teaches us to live by faith, and really God wants us to live by faith in every area of our lives. It's just that sometimes living by faith in the area of finances is the most difficult one.
Very true.
And how God blesses every person is different, isn't
right.
it? That's why I'm so addicted to these kind of stories, is because every person's story is a little bit different. But you know what? It's all God, and it's all what he's doing. And Candace, we rejoice with you. We celebrate with the blessings of God. I'm blown away. It doesn't get old. I've heard your story several times. It just doesn't get old to me. You could tell me more, and I would love it. There's, in the packet that I mentioned earlier in the message, there's this card right here. You can fill that card out if you'd like to. You can place that in the offering basket. If you need to return it with an envelope, you can put it in the business reply envelope. There's a letter that's in there, and we'll send you some other resources as well if God's stirring your heart today to be a part of the 90-Day Tide Challenge. We would love to have you join the team and love to have you be a part of seeing your faith expanded and seeing what God would do in your life. Candace, thank you again all that you're doing at the church. We love you. We appreciate you. We're proud of you. And thank you for sharing your story. Let's give it up for Candace.